محمد الهادي البشير قد جاءنا حق النذير.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So our topic for today is gentleness. In Arabic, the word for gentleness is rifaq. Once the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was with his wife, Sayyida Aisha رضي الله عنها, and there was a group of Jews who came up to him and they said to him, they changed, instead of saying Assalamu alaikum, they said Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum means may peace be upon you. Assalamu alaikum means may death be upon you. So they twisted the words that they said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to insult him. Sayyida Aisha, she was with him and she understood what was being said. And she became angry and she started insulting them and saying bad things back to them, saying may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy you. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said to her, take it easy, O Aisha, and be gentle and adhere to gentleness and avoid and shun roughness and vulgarity. And she said, didn't you hear what they said? He said, didn't you hear what I said? And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he responded to them and he said, wa alaikum, and upon you as well. Because they didn't say it explicitly, they said it implicitly. And the words that they said could have one of two meanings. So he said that when I say to them, and upon you, but he didn't curse, he didn't say may death be upon you, said the same to you. So he said that when I responded to them in that way, my dua will be answered and their dua will not be answered. So this hadith illustrates the character trait of gentleness. It's one of the character traits of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this hadith, he mentions that the opposite of gentleness is roughness, is aggression, is trying to take something right now the way that you want it and trying to make other people be the way that you want right now, and I will make them listen to me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never made anyone listen to him. People were drawn to listen to him because of his gentleness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, he says, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. He said it's because of a tremendous mercy from Allah that you are gentle with them. You're gentle. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Which means that if you were the opposite of gentle, what's the opposite of being gentle? He says, if you were harsh and hard-hearted, callous, then they would have dispersed from around you. They would have run away. You wouldn't have brought them towards you. You wouldn't have brought them in towards you. You wouldn't have attracted them to your character. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that whoever is prevented from gentleness, whoever is kept from gentleness, has been kept from all good. And what he taught was that if we have a goal that we want to acquire, and that goal, there's many ways to achieve that goal. Gentleness, ar-rifq, scholars, they've defined it as submitting oneself, willingly submitting oneself to doing things beautifully. So if there's two ways to achieve a goal, and one is, and normally this comes about with other people, I could achieve a goal through diplomacy and being nice to them and speaking gently to them, but that will take some time. It might take a long time. Or I can achieve that goal by saying things explicitly right now, And demanding that they do what I'm telling them to say, then the rule is that we take the way of gentleness, and it's the way of gentleness that will bring about the results. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in a hadith that Allah gives through gentleness what He doesn't give through roughness. So when, and his whole life is an example of gentleness. When the people of, when he went to Ta'if, when he was calling the people and they stoned him and they drove him out, he didn't curse them, he didn't insult them, he didn't even make a dua against them, but he made a dua for them. This is the peak of gentleness, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Bedouin, he came and he urinated in the mosque of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he desecrating the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his presence, and all of his companions are standing up telling him stop, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them to stop, and he said let him finish. And when he'd finished, he called him to him, and he gently told him that these are the mosques of Allah. They're meant for dhikr, they're meant for Quran, they're meant for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's not a place where you take filthy things and you soil the masjid with them. And he said it in a gentle way, and he stopped his companion. So he took his time. He allowed the man to finish what he was doing, because if he interrupted him at that moment, he would have a negative response. And there's many other instances like that from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there was one of the beautiful lines of poetry that stuck in my mind. I'll say this line, I'll translate it, and then I'll transfer to Sidi Abu Munir to continue. A poet, he once said, ألخص لكم الذي قلته
كأني فهمت ما قلت
إن شاء الله
بدأتم فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم
نعم وحديث
على ذكر ذكرت السيدة عائشة عندما جاءوا اليهود وقالوا نعم. السلام عليك وذكرت نعم. الطائف وما تعرض إليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وذكرت تبول الأعرابي في المسجد
نعم شيخ
أليس هكذا؟
نعم هكذا نعم. وذكرت التعريف الرفق قالوا هو عبارة عن حسن الانقياد لما يؤدي إلى الجميل وكنت أريد أن أختم ببيت شعر يعني تأثرت به وإن شاء الله أن تنتقلون منه ورافق الرفق في كل الأمور فلم يندم رفيق ولم يذممه إنسان ولا يغرنك حظ جره خرق أو خرق فالخرق هدم ورفق المرء بنيان إن شاء الله أترجم وإن شاء الله تنتقلون the line of poetry is very beautiful in Arabic. So it says that keep the company of gentleness in everything that you do, because somebody who is gentle, he never regrets what he did, and nobody ever blames him. And beware, don't be deluded by something that you want immediately right now and getting it through roughness and harshness and gentleness because you want it immediately, because when you take something through roughness, it destroys. But when you take something through gentleness, then it builds a foundation on which you can build things and you can be constructed. So I'll hand it over to Sidi Abu Munir.
ضحكت تذكرت أن السلام عليكم أولا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا ومولانا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين وحبيب رب العالمين. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا ولا فهم لنا إلا ما فهمتنا اللهم ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. تذكرت أن أظن أمير المؤمنين هارون الرشيد أرسل المأمون، كان عنده الأمين والمأمون، فأحدهم كان ضعيف باللغة فأرسله إلى البادية ليخالط العرب ويتعلم يعني منهم الشعر وغيره، فجالسهم وخالطهم. فمرة كان يمشي أحد الجوار يعني أحد العبيد أو أحد الجارية، أحد العبيد يمكن، فضربت رجله بجرته خمر فوقعت فكسرت وسال ما فيها. فبعد سنوات معهم قال: كسر الجرة عمدا وسقى الأرض، كسر الجرة عمدا وسقى الأرض شرابا، قلت والإسلام ديني، ليتني كنت ترابا. يعني نطق أو
من
أول ما
الذي
نطق
كسر الجرة سيدي؟
أحد العبيد الذين كانوا في المكان الذي فيه، يعني كان يمر فضربت رجله بالجرة وهو لم يقل الشعر قبله، فهو قال الشعر هنا في هذا الموضع ونطق بهذا، يعني لكثرة سماعه الشعر نطق بالشعر عندما حدثت هذه الحادثة. تذكرت أن يعني أنا استطعت أن أفهم شيء مما قلت يعني.
He mentioned a story from. So I was going to translate something for. I was going to translate what I said for Sidi Bumunir, and he already understood everything. I didn't need to translate anything. So he said, "You said this, and you said this, and you said this, and you said this." And so he said that he laughed and it reminded him of a story of the two sons of Harun al-Rashid. One of them was weak in the Arabic language, and so he sent him to live with the Bedouins to learn the Arabic language. And as he was coming back, one of his slaves was riding, and he hit with his feet a container of wine, and the container of wine broke and it spilled onto the floor, and the son, he said two lines of poetry, very beautiful lines of poetry, speaking about how ashamed he was about what had happened, and if only he had been the earth of the earth on the ground. But the point being that he learned the ancient Arabic language and he understood, and he'd never said any Arabian poetry before. He said it in a very beautiful way. And so Sayyid Ibn Munir, he thought of that when he understood what I said and I didn't need translation.
قالوا سيدي عرفوا الرفق. بعض العلماء قالوا الرفق هو لين الجانب بالقول والفعل.
Some of the scholars, they said that rifq is having, being easygoing and speaking gently.
والأخذ بالأسهل وهو ضد العنف.
And to take the easier of the two approaches more, and its opposite is roughness or harshness.
وقيل هو المداراة مع الرفقاء ولين الجانب.
Another definition is that it is being diplomatic with people who are around you and being easygoing.
واللطف في أخذ الأمر بأحسن الوجوه وأيسرها.
And being gentle and subtle in the things that you do by taking the the softest and the easiest of the ways to achieve a goal.
قال الله تعالى واخفض جناحك لمن اتبعك من المؤمنين.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, lower the wing of mercy and humility to those believers who follow you. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is commanded to be humble and easygoing and merciful and gentle, in other words, to those who follow him.
وقال تعالى اذهبا إلى فرعون إنه طغى فقولا له قولا لينا لعله يتذكر أو يخشى.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Sayyidina Musa and Sayyidina Harun that go to Fir'aun. Verily he is an aggressor. And say to him, speak to him gently. Perhaps he will remember or fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and refrain from his aggression.
وعن جرير رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من يحرم الرفق يحرم الخير.
And Sayyidina Jarir, one of the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, whoever is denied being gentle is denied all good.
وعن السيدة عائشة رضي الله عنها سمعت من رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم يقول في بيتي اللهم من ولي من أمر أمتي شيئا فشق عليهم فاشقق عليه.
سيدة عائشة, she said that I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم say in my house, O Allah, whoever takes charge or is responsible for any for my ummah and it takes a position of leadership and then makes things difficult for them by being harsh to them, he said, O Allah, be difficult, make things difficult for him.
وَمَنْ وَلِيَ مِنْ أَمْرِ أُمَّتِي شَيْئًا فَرَفَقَ بِهِمْ فَرْفَقْ بِهِ.
And whoever takes a position of leadership in my ummah and then is gentle to them, so be you, O Allah, gentle with him.
وهذا دعاء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لمن بعده من أمته لكل من تولى أمرا من أمور الدنيا والدين.
This is a dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His du'as are answered for those who come after him of his ummah. And he's praying about anyone who takes any position of leadership to do with the world or any position of leadership to do with religion, religious leadership.
وعنها رضي الله عنها قالت إن الرفق لا يكون في شيء إلا زانة ولا ينزع من شيء إلا شانة.
And she also said that gentleness is never found in anything except that it beautifies it. And it's never taken away from anything except that it makes it ugly.
وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام ألا أخبركم على من ألا أخبركم بمن يحرم على النار وتحرم النار عليه تحرم على كل قريب هين سهل لين أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, shall I not tell you about the person on whom the fire is unlawful? It's unlawful on everybody, on every person who is close to people. In other words, he gets along with people. Who is gentle with other people. And he is easy to get along with. And he's not difficult to get along with.
ويقول عليه الصلاة والسلام ما من شيء أثقل في ميزان العبد يوم القيامة من خلق حسن وإن الله يبغض الفاحش البذيء.
He said the Prophet ﷺ said that there is nothing heavier on the scale of hands on the Day of Judgment than good character. And then he mentioned the opposite, that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates, detests the person who is vulgar and insulting.
يقول ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى مهما بلغك أو مهما بلغت تقصيرك في العبادة فلا تفرط في حسن الخلق فقد يكون مفتاحك لدخول أعلى درجات الجنة.
Ibn Qayyim said that whenever you are, however neglectful, remiss you might be in your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't let that affect your good character with other people. Because your good character with other people might be the thing that saves you from the hellfire and enters you into the highest ranks of paradise.
مهما بلغ التقصير في العبادة لا يكون هذا يعني تستدركه بحسن الخلق تقصيرك في العبادة يستدرك بحسن الخلق وتبلغ به على مقامات الجنة.
So one's remissness in acts of worship is repaired by good character, and one thereby achieves the highest ranks of Jannah.
يقول رحمه الله أتظن أن الصالحين بلا ذنوب إنهم فقط استتروا ولم يجاهروا.
He said that, do you think that the righteous people don't have any sins? The only thing that's happened is that they have been concealed. Their sins have been concealed, or they've concealed them and they haven't done their sins openly.
واستغفروا ولم يصروا.
And they ask forgiveness whenever they commit a sin, and they don't persist in doing that sin.
واعترفوا ولم يبرروا.
And they acknowledge when they commit a sin, and they don't try to justify themselves and make excuses.
ومن ما ورد في أداء النصيحة قالوا أظن سمعتها من سيدنا الشيخ عبد الرحمن أظن أو غيره قال دخل رجل إلى الحمام فرفع الإزار إلى فوق الركبة فدخل أحد يعني الملتزمين نقول دخل أحد الملتزمين فوجد أن ركبته قد ظهرت فقال له يا فاسق يا فاعل يا تارك اتق الله ركبتك يعني ظهرت فاشتد عليه بالموعظة فقال له تكلمني أنا قال نعم قال ما فعلت قال ظهرت يعني ركبتك ظهرت وهذه عورة وكذا 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 قال أنا يعني اتهمتني بكل هذه التهم بأنني فاسق وكافر وكذا ففعل هكذا وخلع الوزرة التي كانت على تغطيه عورته فكانت هذه الشدة في الموعظة سببا لأعظم مما كان.
He heard a story from he thinks it was from Sheikh Abdul Rahman that there was a man who entered the wudu place or the place to use the bathroom in a masjid, and he lifted his clothes up higher than his knees, so his knees became exposed, and somebody entered the bathroom and saw him in that way. Maybe he's waiting to use the bathroom, and he started insulting him and saying that you, oh fasiq, oh disobedient person, you don't care about your religion, you don't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he started saying all of these things about him. And the man said, what did I do? He said that you raised your garment so that it went above your knees and you exposed your awrah that should have been covered. And he said, all of those things, I'm so bad just because I did this small thing. And so he said, and so in response, he lifted up his clothes completely and showed his private parts, despite the person who had been rough with him. So he says that this is what happens when somebody is not gentle, when somebody is rough and rude in the way that they tell other people or remind other people to return to do the right thing. It leads them to do things that are worse.
وكان هذه الأولى كأنني أنا سمعت أقول كأنني سمعتها من الشيخ عبد الرحمن. أما الثانية لا سمعتها من الشيخ عبد الرحمن مرارا. كان يقول أحد الوعاظ كان شديدا على الناس يشدد عليهم كثير لما فعلت لماذا هذا وهذا خطأ وهذا يعني كثير الإلحاح في الموعظة والشدة في الموعظة. ف مرة رأى نفسه في المنام أنه وقف بين يدي الله سبحانه وتعالى يوم القيامة. فقيل للملائكة شددوا عليه كما كان يشدد على الناس. فبدأوا يفتشون عنه. لما فعلت وكيف فعلت ولماذا هذا ولماذا؟ فأيقن أنه قد هلك من كثرة التدقيق. ثم بنهاية الرؤيا يعني فرج عنه واستيقظ من الرؤيا لكنه خائف مرعوب من هذا الذي حصل ونطق ببيتين من الشعر قال
So he said that the first story, he's not sure if he heard it from Sheikh Abdul Rahman or from somebody else. But this one, he did hear it from Sheikh Abdul Rahman. That there was a famous preacher in Damascus who used to give sermons. And in his sermons, he would tell the people off. And he said, you're like this, and you're like this, and fear the hellfire, and this will happen to you. And there were stern sermons, fire and brimstone sermons. So one day, he fell asleep and he had a dream. And he dreamt that he was on the Day of Judgment, and two angels came to him, and they said to each other, be with him as he was with other people. And they started investigating and saying, why did you do this, and why did you do this, and what about this, and what about that? And until he was convinced that he was going to die, that he was going to go to the hellfire. And then at the end of his dream, they let him go, and then he woke up.
قال حاسب استيقظ من الرؤيا وقال هذين البيتين. قال حاسبونا فدققوا ثم منوا فأعتقوا. هكذا شيم الكرام بالممالك ترفق. إن قلبي يقول لي ولساني يشهد كل من مات مسلما ليس بالنار يحرق. انقلبت غلظته في الموعظة إلى أن قال بكفي يقول لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله خلاص لن تمسه النار.
So he woke up from his dream and he said two lines of poetry, and the meaning of these two lines of poetry is that they took me to task and then they set me free, and that's what generous masters do with their servants. And he said that, and then he said that everybody who dies a believer, he said, I have certainty that everybody who dies a believer will go to paradise. And so the meaning being that he completely turned head over heels. Before his dream, he was critical. After his dream, he looked, he saw that, you remember the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that whoever says La ilaha illallah, will enter paradise.
ومرة يعني مصداق هذا القصة التي كان الشيخ كثيرا ما يعني يذكرها, حصل معه شيء. هو الشيخ عبد الرحمن كان واقف على باب المسجد وكنت في جانبه, وكان يكلم بعض الأشخاص الذين لهم ليس لهم أي التزام في التدين, ما في التزام أبدا, وربما كانوا لا يصلون في ذلك الوقت. وكان في رقبته, رقبة هذا الذي يكلمه الشيخ, هو جاء ليسأل الشيخ عن أمور يعني أمر يهمه, فكان في رقبته عقد من الفضة لكنه فوق المسموح به شرعا كبير. فالشيخ يكلمه, أنا واقف في جانبه, جاء أحد الأخوان الشيخ لكن دائما يشدد في الموعظة هذا, فجاء والشيخ يكلم هذا الرجل, جاء إلى هذا الرجل ووضع يده هكذا وقال له هذا لا يجوز, هذا حرام. فلم أرى الشيخ قد غضب كغضب يعني كهذا الغضب على هذا الواعظ, قال ليس هكذا وذهب. وهذا الرجل الذي جاء سائلا وفي رقبته عقد, فيما أعتقد أصبح من أحب فيما بعد من أحب من أحب من أحب الشيخ عبد الرحمن أكثر من أحب الشيخ عبد الرحمن من إخوانه.
He said that Sheikh Abdul Rahman was once talking to somebody, a group of people outside the mosque, and these group of people were visibly not religious, and they weren't. So he said that they were, you could tell from their dress, very secular dress. And one of them, he was wearing a silver chain that was impermissible for him to wear. So the Sheikh was talking to them, being gentle with them, and one of his students, who was a preacher, he came up. And while the Sheikh is talking to this person, he went and he took hold of the chain, silver chain that he was wearing in his neck, and he grabbed it and he said, this is haram, this is unlawful to wear. And the Sheikh, he became upset, and Sheikh Munir says that he's never seen him get upset in that way. He got angry at this preacher and he said, that's not the way to do it. And then they finished, and then afterwards, that man who was wearing the silver chain became one of the students of Sheikh Abdul Rahman, who loved him more than anyone else.
فهذا الخلق يعني خلق الرفق هو فعلا كلنا يحتاج إليه, كلنا يحتاج إليه, وأشد الناس حاجة إليه من يعني ولي يعني الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر.
He said that all of us need the character trait of gentleness, and the person who needs it the most is the one who has a position of religious leadership that is used to command the right and forbid the wrong.
لأنهم قالوا الأمر بالمعروف يحتاج إلى معروف.
Because they say that commanding people to do good needs goodness. It needs to be done with goodness. ذكرتم سيدي الرفق والأخذ بالأسهل. So I'll start with a question. So I'm going to ask him that gentleness means to take the easier of two affairs. But often we find it that it's being gentle is difficult. لكن سيدي كثيرا ما نجد أن الأخذ بالرفق ليس أسهل الأمور, بل هو أصعب الأمور, لأنه هو
أصعب الأمور على النفس, لكن هو أسهل الأمور على الأسهل. هو يفسره هذا قوله أو ما قيل عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم, ما اختار ما خير رسول الله بين أمرين إلا اختار أيسرهما.
نعم.
ما لم يكن
إثما.
نعم. هذا هو, هذا تفسيره, الأخذ بالأسهل هذا, يعني أن لا يتشدد
على الآخرين يعني.
على الآخرين.
فالأخذ بالأيسر يعني أخذ بالأيسر على الآخرين.
على الآخرين. وإذا هناك شيء آخر، إذا كانت نفسه من الآخرين عملها هكذا، وإذا كان يعلم أن نفسه ملكا له فليتصرف بها بالشدة.
So he said the prophet. So he said that gentleness is to take the easier of two approaches, and so I said that being gentle is difficult. He said it's difficult on the self, but what's meant by the easier of two approaches is to the easier of two approaches on other people. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that it said about him, he was never given a choice between two matters, except that he chose the easier of the two. So I inquired, does that mean he chose the easier of the two for other people? He said, for other people. And then he laughed and he said that, and if you think that your own self is like other people, then you can go easy on yourself as well. But if you feel that you are in complete control of yourself and it will do whatever you say, then you can be more strict with yourself.
ومما يفسر هذا أيضا أنه عندما جاءوا ثلاثة أشخاص إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فرأوا عبادته وكذا، فقال أحدهم إني أصوم ولا أفطر، والثاني قال أنا أقوم ولا أنا، والثالث قال وأنا لا أتزوج النساء. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم علم بمقالتهم فقال إني أصوم وأفطر وأنام وأقوم وأنام وأتزوج النساء، فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني. هذا الشدة والأسهل.
This is also explained by the three people who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they said that one of them said that I will pray all night and I won't sleep. Another one said I'll fast every day and I'll never break my fast. And the third said that I'll never marry women. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he heard about this and he said that I sleep at night and I wake up to pray. And I fast in some days and I don't fast other days. And I marry women. And so whoever loves something more than my sunnah, I have nothing to do with that person.
وقد بلغ الرفق في أحد الأولياء مبلغا عظيما. أنا ناسي من صاحبه، يعني صاحب هذا المقام، لكن كأنني سمعته من الشيخ يقول أتمنى أنني أدخل النار ثم تمتلئ النار، يكبر الله جسمي حتى يملأ النار حتى لا يدخلها أحد. بلغ الرفق به بأن يقول أريد أن يعني أن يكبر جسمي حتى يملأ النار ثم لا يدخلها أحد، رفقا بالعباد. شو هذا يعني، شيء ما لا يتصوره عقل.
هو لا يعني لا يتعارض مع الخوف من النار، ويعني
هو يتعارض مع الخوف، لكن ملأ الرفق قلبه حتى يقول، يعني طبعا هو يتعارض انه يعني مع الخوف من النار، لكن لو دخل النار فلا يريد ان يدخل احد يدخلها غيره. وهذا مثل قول مثلا سيدنا عمر لو أن مناديا نادى في المحشر أن كل من في الموقف إلى الجنة إلا واحد إلى النار، ظننت أن أكون ذلك الواحد خوفا من الله سبحانه وتعالى. لكن إذا دخل هذا الرجل الصالح الذي قال، أنا نسيت من هو والله، قال يعني بلغ الأمر عنده، هو أمر صعب، ومن يتمنى دخول النار أو من، لكن بلغ الأمر به برفقه في الخلق أن يقول، يعني يكون هو الذي يفدي غيره بهذا.
He heard one of the people who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say this, and he forgets who it is. Maybe it was the Sheikh, maybe it was somebody else. And he heard him say that, I wish I would enter the hellfire, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make my body bigger and bigger and bigger until there'd be no space for anybody else to enter the hellfire, out of having gentleness and concern for other people. So I asked, doesn't this go against fearing the hellfire, which is something we should all be fearful of? He said, of course it does. But he said that perhaps it's like the saying of Sayyidina Umar said that if it were to be announced in the Day of Judgment that everybody is going to paradise except one person who is going to go to the hellfire, I would think that it was me. And so Sayyidina Umar, he believed that he deserved to go to the hellfire. And when perhaps this person who's close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he believed that he was going to go to the hellfire. And so he said that if I go to the hellfire, then I don't want anybody else to, I want to make my entering it a sacrifice that prevents other people from entering it.
وهذا لا يتعارض مع الخوف. الخوف من النار والخوف من الله. لكن هذا يظهر مدى رفقه بالخلق. هو هنا هذا الذي يظهر من هذه الحادثة. وإلا هو كل أحد يخاف من لا يخاف من النار؟ الكل يخاف النار. لكن كيف يعبر عن خرج منه هذا التعبير؟
He said that this doesn't go against the fact that it doesn't indicate that he doesn't fear the hellfire. Everybody fears the hellfire. Everybody fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it's a way of expressing his extreme gentleness for other people. And so he's trying to express it. And this is how the expression came out, meaning that he has. And so the thing to take away is his extreme gentleness and concern for the well-being of other people.
ربما تعقل هذا تعقله بجوز يكون صعب تعقله لكن نأتي بشيء سهل تعقله يدل على يعني هذا أخوين أعرفهما أعرف الاثنين أحدهما مريض سرطان والثاني مريض قلب وعنده أظن إما عملية فتح قلب أو شيء يعني من هذا يقول هذا الثاني للأول يقول اللهم اشفي أخي فلان فيدعو لأخيه وينسى نفسه أو يدعو لأخيه قبل أن يدعو لنفسه أنا أعرف الاثنين قال عندي موعد لعملية فتح قلب أو شيء يعني أمر في القلب قال والله أدعو له وأنسى نفسي أو يعني مو أنسى نفسي لكن قبل أن أدعو لنفسي
هكذا الأم نعم he said that example might be difficult for some of us to understand difficult for me to understand he said an easier example he says he knows two brothers and they're both unwell. One of them has cancer, the other one has a heart condition. So one of them was about to go in for heart surgery. And as he's going in for heart surgery, he makes dua for his brother. And he makes dua for his brother. And he remarked that I make dua for my brother and I forget about making dua for myself while he's in such a condition of danger. So I just remarked that's what a mother is like.
وهذا كثير مما تقوله الأمهات أو يقوله المحبون في شأن محبوبهم انظر إلى سيدنا خباب أظن أو يعني غيره عندما قال يعني قيل له أتكون في أهلك وآمنا وكذا وكذا قال لا وأن يشاك محمد بشوكة قال أبدا
He said that this is commonly happens with the state with mothers and with people who love other people. And he mentioned the love of one of the companions for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when the companion was being tortured and about to die on the verge of death. And he was asked, do you wish that you were with your family and that the Prophet ﷺ was in your place? And he said, never. I don't even wish that he should be pricked with a thorn.
والأم إذا أصاب ابنها شيء تقول يعني ليتني أنا ولا أنت. هذا كثير ما نسمعه في الأمهات أو في المحبين، ليتني أنا ولا أنت.
And when a mother sees her child, something happens to the child, she says, if only it was me and not you. And he said that this is something that we hear frequently with mothers and with people who love each other. This is a manifestation of gentleness. If anybody has any questions, you can type them. Otherwise, I have another one. سألتكم مرة عن يعني أحيانا نجد أنفسنا أو أجد نفسي يعني أتضايق عندما أرى شخصا يفعل حراما، فقلتم يعني ننظر إلى أنفسنا بعين الشرع وإلى غيرنا بعين الحقيقة. فهل يعني ما معنى هذا؟ يعني كيف يعني
أظن أنها حكمة لسيدنا ابن عطاء الله. تشرع في نفسك وتحقق في أبناء جنسك.
نعم.
إن أردت سلامة رأسك.
نعم. سلامة كيف سلامة رأسك؟ يعني هو ما
يعني إذا أردت أن تنجو، إذا أردت أن تنجو ولا تقيم ميزان الشرع على إلا على نفسك.
مثل الواعظ الذي رأى النوم في النوم الرؤيا.
أيوة. يعني اجعل يعني هذا الذي تريد أن تعظه يجب أن يكون قبل الموعظة أن تكون ممتلئا رحمة له. فالمشكلة أنه يخالط هذا الأمر شيء آخر، أنك عندما تريد أن تعظه ربما تظن أنك أفضل منه، فأقم الشريعة على نفسك، على نفسك دقق، على نفسك دقق، تفعلي هذا ولا تفعلي هذا، ويجب عليك أن تفعلي هذا، و لا يخلو هذا من الرفق أيضا كمان. يعني لا تتشدد حتى لا يتشدد عليك، فتشرع في نفسك وتحقق في يعني انظر إلى الخلق بأن نواصيهم بيد الحق سبحانه وتعالى، وأن القلوب بيد الله يقلبها كيف يشاء، أليس كذلك؟
بلى.
فعلى نفسك أقم ميزان الشرع، وعلى غيرك إن أردت أن تقيم هذا الميزان لكن برفق. كيف هذا في صورة من رأينا يعني سمعنا من الأشياخ عندما جاء هذا السكران إلى الشيخ الهاشمي، قبل يده وفمه نجس. لو أراد أن يعني يبتعد عنه ويترفع عنه يعني له يعني ينجس يعني بدن الشيخ، وعندما أخذ الشيخ بيده وذهب به إلى المسجد وطهر فمه ولم يغادر بعدها الحضرة، فعندما قال له أحد إخوان الشيخ، سيدي يعني هذا فمه يعني نجس ويعني هو كأنه ينجسك، قال حاله هنا مربط الفرس، قال حاله حال آدم يقول ربي إني ظلمت نفسي، أو الآية، شو الآية؟
ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن فاجتباه ربه أو أمي.
فمثله مثل آدم، جاء يعني يقول ظلمت نفسي، ومثلك مثل يقول أنا خير منه. فانظر إلى هذا الرفق بمن تلبس بمعصية، وهذا الرفق ماذا كان نتيجته؟ نتيجته توبة هذا العاصي.
So I once asked Zeruni that when I see somebody doing something that's a great wrong, it makes me upset, and I want to do something, say something that might not be the most gentle way to approach things. And he cited a saying. He thinks it's from Ibn Ata'illah, maybe it's from somebody else, that he said that apply the standards of the sacred law of right and wrong. Apply the standards of right and wrong to yourself, and see other people as being in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do it this way if you want to be safe from having your head chopped off. So I'm asking to explain, and he said that when there's somebody who's doing something wrong, that before you tell that person to stop, then you have to have mercy for that person. And you have to view that person with gentleness, and you have to be aware of thinking that you are better than that person. And so he gave the example of, and so that's why he says that if you want to apply the standards of right or wrong, you apply them to yourself. For other people, you see them as being in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He turns hearts however he wills, and you have mercy on them, and you don't see yourself better than them before you say anything to them. And he mentioned the example of Shaykh al-Hashimi. He was once going to the public gathering of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and on the way he would pass by a district where wine was sold and drunk. So there was a drunken man who came, and he had wine or alcohol on his mouth, and he bent down to kiss the hand of Shaykh al-Hashimi. And his mouth was najis. It's alcohol is filthy. It's not valid to pray. And so Shaykh al-Hashimi took him by the hand, walked with him to the masjid, cleaned his mouth, did his wudu, and then stood with him held his hand as he stood with him to make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that person became one of the closest students of Shaykh al-Hashimi. And somebody remarked to Shaykh al-Hashimi that how could you allow him to kiss your hand when his mouth was filthy, his mouth was najis. And he said that he is like Adam, Sayyidina Adam. Sayyidina Adam, he committed a sin. He came down and he said, "Oh my Lord, we've wronged ourselves, so forgive us." And you are like Iblis, because you're saying that I'm better than him.
وقد ذكرت لكم قصة من كان يسمع الدرس من الشيخ علي الدقر وذهب إلى قريته ونقل الدرس كما هو، فقاموا عليه أهل المسجد وأرادوا ضربه، وقال للهاشمي بعدها، قال: والله يا سيدي حصل معي كذا وكذا وكذا. قال: هنا الآن تظهر هذه الحكمة جلية. يقول: لما أنت كنت تعظهم كنت تظن نفسك أفضل منهم. فهذا لما تظن، بينما الشيخ علي عندما كان يعظ الناس يجرد من نفسه شخصية هي علي، ويقول: يا فاعل يا تارك، يكلم نفسه. إذا تشرع في نفسك وتحقق في أبناء جنسك، إن أردت سلامة رأسك فأنت تسلم عند الله وعند ومن عباد الله، لأنه هو أراد البطش به. فعندما يكلمهم ويرحمهم وينظر إلى نفسه هي المذنبة ليس إليهم أنهم مذنبون، فهذا تشرع في نفسك وتحقق في أبناء جنسك إن أرد. ورد كما يعني هو معلوم لديكم، كان كثيرا ما يقول عليه الصلاة والسلام: يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك. هذا التحقق في أبناء جنسك، القلوب بين يدي أصبعين من أصابع الرحمن يقلبها كيف يشاء. فأنت إذا ازدريته، إذا نقصته ولو كان في معصية مثلا أو يعني مخالفة، لا ينبغي لك يعني أن توبخه أو تزجره زجرا عنيفا أو يعني تسيء إليه، فلا بد إلا أن تأخذ بيده بالمعروف لتنقذه مما هو فيه. وإلا إذا أغلظت عليه يحل الوزر التي على عورته كما فعلها صاحب الحمام.
نعم. You mentioned another example of this is there was a great scholar of Damascus, his name was Sheikh Ali al-Daqa, and he would give fire and brimstone sermons, and he would tell people that you're this and you're that and you're this and you're that, and everybody would leave his sermon crying. And so one of the people who used to attend it would then go, he said, okay, let me try to do the same thing. So he was the imam of a masjid in a far off location, he would come here to learn. So he went to his masjid and he repeated the khutbah, the sermon that Sheikh Ali had given verbatim. And when the people heard him, they took their slippers and started throwing them in his face. So he came to the Sheikh Ibn Hashimi and he said when people, they listen to Sheikh Ali, they become affected. But when I try to do the same thing, they throw slippers in my face. And so the Sheikh said that it's because when Sheikh Ali was speaking, he was actually speaking to himself. He took out from himself an imaginary Ali. He put him in front of himself and he was putting himself down. He wasn't speaking to the other people. And as for you, you were putting other people down and that's why they reacted in that way. So so this is another explanation of the statement that apply the standards of right and wrong to yourself. And see other people as being controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you want your head to be safe from being chopped off. That is, being safe from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also being safe from other people. Said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make a dua, he used to pray, he used to say that, O Allah, O you who turns hearts towards the good and towards the bad, keep my heart firm upon the good. He said that this is an example of seeing the hearts of other people in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
أخبرتكم عن قصة سيدنا الهاشمي مع سيدنا الشيخ عبد الرحمن عندما قال له: هل دعوت عبد الناصر ليتناول معنا الغداء؟
لم تشكو.
جاء الشيخ عبد الرحمن من الحج فذهب إلى الشيخ الهاشمي وقال له الهاشمي، قال سيدي عبد الرحمن: نحن نأتي إليك، لماذا أنت جئت؟ قال: لا سيدي، أنا كنت مسافر ويجب أن أزورك. فزاره وهنأه بالمجيء من الحج وقال له الشيخ عبد الرحمن: سيدي غدا إن شاء الله أتناول الغداء عندنا في البيت. فجاء الهاشمي في اليوم الثاني إلى بيت الشيخ عبد الرحمن وكان الشيخ يضع يعني ينقل الصحون من المطبخ إلى الهاشمي على الطاولة يعني. فهو في أثناء هذا الذهاب والإياب قال له الهاشمي، قال: سيدي عبد الرحمن. قال: نعم سيدي. قال: هل دعوت عبد الناصر ليتناول معنا الغداء؟ شو ما في مناسبة. فالشيخ عبد الرحمن تحير فأصبح يعني يأخذ رأسه هكذا فعندما ذهب بنظره هكذا وجد صورة جمال عبد الناصر موجودة في الشباك في النافذة، فقال ذهب إلى الصورة وأخذها، قال والله سيدي هذا سيدي منير يحب عبد الناصر، هو وضع هذه الصورة. فكيف الشيخ يعني كيف عالج الشيخ الهاشمي قضية تعليق الصورة؟ كيف عالجها؟ بأنه قال له سيدي هل دعوت جمال عبد الناصر ليتناول معنا الغداء؟ شو يعني انظر إلى الدخول إلى تغيير المنكر، يعني إذا كان هذا منكرا تعليق الصورة، فانظر إلى كيف يعني كيف دخل إلى سويداء قلب الشيخ وأخرج هذا بكل اللطف.
نعم. He said that Sheikh Abdul Rahman once went on Hajj and he returned and he visited Sheikh Al-Hashimi. And Sheikh Al-Hashimi said that you returned from Hajj, we should be visiting you. And he said that no, I should be visiting you. And then he invited him to his house the next day to have food. And so Sheikh Al-Hashimi came to him, came to his house to eat with him. And Sheikh Abdul Rahman is going in and out, bringing the dishes. And when he comes and he places the food in front of Sheikh Al-Hashimi, Sheikh Al-Hashimi said, he said to him, have you invited Jamal Abdul Nasir to eat with us? Sheikh Abdul Rahman said, what's happened? Jamal Abdul Nasir was a ruler of Egypt who brought unity amongst a number of Arab states, including Syria. So he was popular at that time. Sheikh Abdul Rahman looked around and he saw a picture of Jamal Abdul Nasir placed inside the window, and so a small picture. And so he removed it. And he said that this was Munir, my son, who he loves Jamal Abdul Nasir, so he placed a picture of him here because to show his admiration of him. So the Fuqaha, they mention even those who permit the taking of pictures, such as the Malikis, they many of them, they say that pictures should not be hung up. They shouldn't be placed in a position of honor and hung up in a frame. And so that was the position of Sheikh Al-Hashimi. The point here is that the way that he went and he expressed the thing that he needed to express to Sheikh Al-Rahman, he made a joke, he cracked a joke, made him smile, entered into the depths of his heart, and he removed it and he didn't feel insulted at all. He did this in a way, in gentleness, by saying that, have you invited Abdul Nasir to have a meal with us? They used to ask, كيف نؤدب أبناءنا؟ لو أخذنا بالرفق سيكون في البيت يعني ضوضاء. Question, how do we discipline our children? If we take the easy way, we'll have a very messy house.
Well, هذا أمر يعني جدير بالبحث ومهم. الإحسان لا يأتي إلا بخير، كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام، لا نقول فوق يعني الرفق ما كان في شيء إلا زانه، وما نزع من شيء إلا شانه. فأن تأخذ بيد ابنك إحسانا أفضل بألف مرة من أن تأخذ بيده قهرا وفوقية وبحكم أبوتك وحكم ولايتك، أن تأخذ عليه بيدك بالقوة. فإذا أخذته بالإحسان وقلت له بابا هذا مثلا لا ينبغي هذا، هل قد يحتاج إلى تشديد العبارة في بعض الأحيان، وإذا زاد هذا الأمر ينقلب، وهذا ما رؤي في المجتمع. في أي مجتمع كان فيه غلظة أو قسوة تجد الأولاد ينفرون من آبائهم. لماذا الآن الولد أو في المجتمع كثيرا ما تقبل نصيحة والده. لماذا؟ لأنه يرى أن والده يأتي عليه من فوق ويستكين هذا الولد إلى صديقه. لماذا؟ لأنه يوافقه إما على ما هو عليه أو أنه يسايره، ولو كان لا يرضى رفيقه به لكن يسايره ويتلطف به. فاللطف مع الأولاد يعني أنا أراه يعني هذا حال منهج النبوة.
So, so maybe we disagree that we'll have a messy house if we take the easy way with our children. So he said that the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to be gentle. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that gentleness doesn't enter upon anything except that it beautifies it. So he says that for us to take our children by their hands with gentleness is 1,000 times better than to come from above them and demand obedience as parents and force them to comply. He says that the when we look around us, we see this is the, why is it that parents don't, that children don't listen to their parents? Because the reason why the general state of affairs all over the world is that children don't listen to their parents is that parents, they come to their children from above. And this would be in a Islamic context. In the Western context, there's freedoms that are given and there's a different problem there. But in the Islamic context, when we come to our children from above, we demand that they obey us, that they listen to us, then this leads to them inclining towards their friends because their friends understand them, they spend time with them, they talk to them, and so they incline and they take from their friends and they don't take from their parents. And if their parents had been gentle and made things easy for their children, not in the sense of permissiveness, making everything permissible, but speaking to them gently by saying, for example, my son, you shouldn't have done that. That's not, and so he said, sometimes you need more. Sometimes you need to be stern, but those instances need to be rare. And everything that we've said above also applies. It needs to come from a place of love. And one cannot think oneself as being better even than one's children. This was the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His was a way of gentleness.
قدم لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم شرابا وكان يجلس على يمينه غلاما وكان يجلس على شماله سيدنا أبو بكر. فعندما قدم لرسول الله الشراب استأذن رسول، انظر إلى هذه الدقة، استأذن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الغلام لأنه يعطى الشراب أو تعطى الضيافة على يمين رسول الله. فاستأذن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، استأذن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الغلام في أن يعطي أبو بكر الشراب. فقال الغلام لا أذن يا رسول الله فإني لا أؤثر على سؤرك أحدا. كونه شرب رسول الله من هذا الشراب وأراد على يمينه الغلام وعلى يساره أبو بكر، فاستأذن رسول الله الغلام في أن يعطي أبا بكر. قال لا يا رسول الله لا أذن. فأخذ قال لا أؤثر على سؤرك أحدا، أنا أريد أن أشرب من ورائك. هذا لو دققنا فيه، انظر إلى رسول الله كيف يربي هذا، كيف يتعامل مع هذا الغلام وكأنه صاحب حق. يعني أعطاه مكانته.
Said that once the Prophet
هذه الوقفة هنا وقفة يجب أن تكون وقفة متأمل يتأمل في هذا. كيف أن أبا بكر على يساره ويستأذن رسول الله الغلام في أن يعطي هذا، يعني معناته كم يعني يعامله معاملة الكبير، يعامله معاملة صاحب الحق.
والغلام يشعر بكل حرية في أن يقول لا، يعني لا، يعني لا يوجد أي
لا أذن.
نعم لا
حرج. لكن عللها بتعليل طيب.
نعم نعم عنده صوت يعني.
نعم.
So he said that that once in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was in a gathering, and he was there was something, a drink that was offered, water or something else, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam drank from it. And to his right was a boy, a small boy, and to his left was Sayyidina Abu Bakr. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so there's the when water is passed around or any kind of treats are passed around, then it goes towards the right. Each person passes towards the right. But towards his right is a small boy, and to his left is Sayyidina Abu Bakr. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went, said to the boy, "Do you permit me to give this water to Abu Bakr? Because you have greater right." And the boy said, "No, I don't permit you, because I won't prefer, because I want to drink from the water that you drank from. And I'm not going to let anybody else take that, deny me that opportunity." So we have to look and you know, reflect on this. So reflect first of all how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sought permission from a boy. He gave him his right. Reflect also on this is my comment, how the boy felt completely free to say no. And he gave a good reason, but it means that he had a voice. It means that there was an atmosphere of gentleness that pervaded the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with children. كيف يعني عندي أنا مدير وعندي معي يعني عاملون و فعندما أتعامل معهم يعني لابد من أن أكون يعني في حازما، لأن يعني لو ذكرتهم باللطف ثم ذكرتهم باللطف ثم ذكرتهم باللطف لا يعني لا يستجيبون. والموبايلات يعني هم دائما على الموبايلات ولن يفعلون أي شيء إن لم يخافوا أن يعني منك أنك ستغضب عليهم.
استخدم بدل هذا المذهب، استخدم مذهب المكافأة، أنه من لم يفعل هذا سيكافأ بدل العقوبة وبدل هذه الشدة، لأنه كما هو معلوم جبلت النفوس على حب من أحسن إليها. ففرق، وهذا الفرق حتى في بيننا وبين الله سبحانه وتعالى، العبد الذي يأتيه محبا فرق بينه وبين من يأتيه قهرا وخوفا. فإذا استجاب إليك، إذا أحسنت وكانت نيتك صالحة في الإحسان، لا تخشى أنهم لا يسمعون كلامك أيها المدير، لا تخشى أنهم لن يسمعون كلامك، بل إذا أحبوك سيفضلونك على أنفسهم. أحسن إليهم، وهذا هو مدير ونحن مارسنا الإدارة في يعني، فنجد هذا في 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 تعاملنا، نجد أنه قد يعني يفعل الإحسان ما لا يفعله الشدة وال
So he says this is a question that when one is dealing with our staff, with your staff, one cannot but be firm, as they do not respond to gentle reminders. The mobile phones occupy them, and they will do nothing if they do not fear that you will be angry with them. So Sayyid Abu Munir, he gave an answer, but before I'll say what he said at the end first. Sayyid Abu Munir is a manager, and he manages workers, and he has experience in this. So when what he says, he speaks from his own experience. So he says that instead of having them fear you, he says give them rewards. And so use a reward-based approach, that whoever doesn't do this will get this. And be kind to them and show ihsan to them. And if you adopt this approach, then you will find that they will love you, and they will want to do everything that you want them to do without you having to say it. And he said that it's the same with any servant, even with us, even with our slavehood, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A slave who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala worships him out of love, not because he's forced to. And so he says that try this approach, and he says it works better.
من أحسنت إليه حفظته في غيبته عنك ومن أغلظت عليه تفلت في غيبته عنك.
So that when you are kind to somebody, then you make sure you're ensuring that he does what you want them to do when you're not around, when you aren't watching. And when you are difficult and stern with somebody, then you are ensuring that when you're not around, they won't do what you want them to do.
رأينا من من كان يرفع العصا على وجه أولاده من أجل أن تضع إحداهن الحجاب، فهي تضع أمام والدها الحجاب، لكن إذا غاب عنها أو غابت عنه تساهلت في هذا ورفعته. أما من فعلته حبا هذا لا ترفعه بحال من الأحوال ولو تعرضت لهلاك نفسها، يعني أكون أثر الإحسان في النفس أكبر وأعظم بكثير من الأمر بالقهر والقوة على المكلف.
He said that, so one of the things you mentioned earlier that I neglected to translate is that we are inclined to do or to respond to people who show us kindness. And so he said that he's seen people who made their daughters wear the hijab, and by threat of physical punishment, by lifting a stick against them. And he said that this, what happens when this happens is that because they're scared of their parents, in front of their parents, they do what their parents want them to do. But the moment the parents look away, they dress the way that they want. But if one teaches one's children and other people that one works with through kindness and doing good to them and winning their hearts, then you are drawing them to something, and in a real way, because now they love to do it, and you're really getting what you are seeking.
فعلى المدير أن يجعل المكافآت مذهبا في عمله، وسيرى أنه هذا سيدفعهم إلى العمل وإلى حب العمل وإلى الالتزام أكثر بكثير من يعني وضع العقوبات.
So the manager should give prizes, and giving prizes and recognitions will be far more effective than reprimands and fines or punishments.
الله يحفظك ويبارك فيكم يا رب.
Stop here.
انظر إلى كلام سيدنا أنس. خدمت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم 10 سنين، ما قال لي لشيء لم أفعله لما لم تفعل، ولا لشيء فعلته لما فعلت. أليس يحتاج هذا كل مدير؟
He said that, look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Anas served him for 10 years. He said for 10 years the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never said to him about anything he did, why did you do that? Or about anything he didn't do, why didn't you do that? And yet he raised him and he made him a great person. How? Through gentleness and through positive interactions.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. نستغفر الله مما وقع منا في حياتنا من شدة، لكن هذه الشدة نسأل الله أن يعفو عنا، كانت عبارة عن مواقف يعني تعد يعني، لكن يندم الإنسان عليها، يندم الإنسان على مواقف كانت شديدة منه. يتمنى لو تعامل معها بالإحسان، كان ذلك أفضل بكثير، لأننا لا وقعنا في مثل هذه الشدة، لكن نستغفر ونتوب إن شاء الله مما وقع يعني مباشرة، يعني من فضل الله تعالى أننا يعني نشعر بهذا، أننا نستغفر ونتوب. ليس الشأن أنك لا تذنب، لكن الشأن أنك لا تصر على الذنب.
So that we seek, he seeks the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for times in the past when he took stands and he wasn't gentle. And he said that when you do that, later on you regret it. And you wish that you'd been gentle. And he says that that everybody makes mistakes, and nobody is perfect. And so the point is not that you never make a mistake, but that when you do it, you seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and you turn back to Him.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wal 'asr innal insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa 'amilus salihat wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bis sabr. Assalamu alaykum.
صلي وسلم ربي وأنعم على المعلم.